Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday. Just got a little happier over there at the McMichael household. Brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, the only Tennessee High Malt Whiskey.
That thing cold?
Is it? That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Not quite as cold as our Sports Jeopardy answers.
Oh, that was raggedy, Andy.
Yeah, that was raggedy. Tough, man. Yeah, I was sitting there really thinking about that one a lot during that break.
Like, really? You still think about it?
I would rather you, just for the sake of like the listeners, I would rather you have beat me down than have it go like that. A nil-nil draw. It was a...
Oh, my damn.
It was not good. It was not pretty.
Oh, man.
What do you got?
You know what, man?
What?
Never mind. You know what? No, I'm going to call him out because he'll call us. He called us out talking about some raises. He's saving money because we ain't paying for gas and everything. You know what? I should have came back with him. Yeah, but I'm still paying for damn parking for a parking deck I ain't parked in 3 months. But my boss, our boss, Sean Thompson, just cracked open a damn White Claw and hit my woo. Really? Really?
That's the video that he just sent? Good
yes,
for you,
that's
Sean.
The video he just sent us. Him
good
cracking open
you,
a white. You don't woo with a damn White Claw.
You can woo with whatever you want.
No,
you
cannot.
With whatever you're drinking. Yes,
no,
you can. Why not?
Well, you know what? Well, you can't say it with your chest with a White Claw in.
What do you say it with?
Woo.
All right. Anyway, we're happy Sean's drinking along with us and wooing along with us and all the rest of you as well. We're going to get to some keys to a Falcons victory. Coming up in 20 minutes from right now. That is going to be our 120 segment every Happy Hour Friday throughout the entire football season. Everything that the Falcons need to do to win on Sunday. And I know thanks to Jarvis and Chris Goforth for helping us with some info throughout the show and getting us in the right direction. They're going to join us on Fridays as well. But keys to the game coming up 20 minutes from right now. About half an hour from right now, we've compiled some of the best fantasy football questions that we've gotten from the listeners. Between you, me, Wendy, and Brian Gebhardt, we're going to answer to the best of our ability to try to get you set for the first weekend of fantasy football as well.
You don't want to miss my locks, Andy. I got some lockadocious.
And is that going to be for the fantasy football, or is that going to be when we make our picks? Because we're going to make picks for the weekend at 140 as well.
I got all that, man. I got all this on my little notepad right here, man.
All right. Lockadocious?
The Lockadocious, the Mac Lockadocious pick of the week.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear what that is.
Hey, Dave, make sure you get that sponsored.
Yeah, you could sponsor that, the Lockadocious pick of the week. Before we get to any of that, though, let's start the 1 o'clock hour by telling you what's trending.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for what's trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh, my God.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
And he looks amazing. The scrimmage, he looks amazing. LA just spent some time with him, just bonding, right? Just seeing, you know, Ty Gurley, knowing Ty Gurley behind the athlete of Ty Gurley, right? Just knowing him as a person and things like that. Because at the end of the day, it's all about bringing each other together and, you know, finding a common goal, purpose. And we share the same things. And like, you know, I got you, you got me. So like, he gonna do his thing in the run game, I'll do my thing in the pass game, and for him to do his thing in the run game, I got to go out there and block. And for us to do our thing in the passing game, you know, he got to sit in there and take care of protection.
That's Julio Jones talking about Todd Gurley. And he's not the only one over there at Flowery Branch who's been very optimistic about what they've seen from Todd Gurley throughout training camp. And, I mean, I don't want to throw water on that because I trust these guys. I trust Julio and what he sees. I trust Matt and what he sees. I trust Dan Quinn to a certain extent. I think Dan Quinn's always going to be a little overly optimistic and positive about everything that's going on with the team. I mean, last year, Devontae Freeman was bringing the juice, and there wasn't a lot of juice brought to the season. So I'm gonna err on the side of those guys knowing what they see. I'll say this, and again, we'll get to our keys to the game coming up in 20 minutes. Todd Gurley being anywhere near what Todd Gurley was a couple years ago is a key to every single Falcons game this season. Like, if he looks like that, this Falcons offense has a chance to be fantastic.
Andy, we need Todd Gurley to just do everything he can to put this team in a situation where he gets the ball in the red zone. And I don't care what Todd is in the field. Give him the ball in the red zone, because we've been talking about it all day, Andy. The guy has a knack for getting the ball in the end zone. Now, when you look at this team as a whole, and Julio, the thing with Julio is that when he was in L.A., I'm talking about Todd Gurley, they didn't really – teams didn't double-team anybody. You know, like, they played off because they were always in 11 personnel. I'm talking about the L.A. Rams. But they really didn't double too many people. You're going to get a legit double team all the time. You can say what you want about Jalen Ramsey and Lattimore and all these guys covering Julio one-on-one. No, they didn't. Watch the whole 22. There's always somebody cheated over to Julio. Always, all right? So that's the thing about it. If he can just make one guy miss, that's what you need. That's where that six, that's where that seven, and that's where that 20-yard run goes. Now, is he going to be 75 yards to the house, Todd Gurley? Probably not. But can he be 25 yards to the house, Todd Gurley? Yeah. He still has that ability about him.
Yeah, and hopefully we see that on Sunday. I mean, again, we talk with Goforth and with Jarvis about the unknowns for the Falcons this season. Todd Gurley's health is a big unknown. It just is. And if it turns out to be a positive, again, this offense has a chance to be special. If Todd Gurley is just a red zone threat, I still think the offense can be special. But then it falls on the shoulders of other guys. And right now, Brian Hill is the number two on the running back depth chart. If Brian Hill ends up having to get the lion's share of carries, what does that look like for a Falcons offense?
How does that make you feel about
a Falcons offense?
Well, the thing with it is, Bunk, is that everybody's been raving about Brian Hill. We don't know what Brian Hill is. I know that I've seen Brian Hill play enough to know that the guy can play running back in this league. But is he a guy that can carry a run game? I don't know. You know, when he was in New Orleans, when he got the game, the carries in New Orleans, he was productive. Can he be a bell cow type guy? Those are things I don't know about him.
Yeah, but, I mean, I don't think he's ever had more than, you know, 15 carries in his life.
You know what I'm saying? Certainly so you don't know what he is or what he can do. But right now, I mean, it's all about Todd Gurley. It's about him. It's about them maintaining him, them resting him, them giving him a proper days off, and him producing when it's an opportunity, because I don't give a damn if Todd Gurley practice on Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday. I want to do something on Sunday. If he ain't got to practice all week, practice. Oh, Todd, you go there and sit down. Thursday. Todd, go sit down. Friday. Todd, don't even come over here. Sunday, let's go, Todd Gurley. Because, Todd, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, these are the things. All I need is to him to be productive. We keep talking about, Andy, the usage rate. He had 17 touches, I'm sorry, last year in Los Angeles. Can we get him up to 20-23 here? I think that's the key. I think those would be the key touches for him, 20-23.
I'm with you. He's one of those guys that can just show up on Sunday, hopefully, without being a part of it during the week and be productive. Julio's been the same way in his career. We also found out earlier today that James Carpenter isn't practicing today.
Never heard of it.
And
on a Friday?
That's not a normal thing for an offensive lineman to do. Yeah, you're a superstar wide receiver, okay. Running back, you want to limit his stuff. Okay, that makes sense.
But I'm saying
a day off
on a Friday when you don't wear no pads?
Uh-huh.
Friday is conspicuous to me. Fast Friday, you out there with helmets on, and sometimes you wear your shells, but most of the time you're out there with your helmet on. It's usually a scripted play, and you go home.
Mm-hmm. So why would you sit out then? Like, what would be the benefit of not having him be a part of that?
I don't know. They said it's rest. I'm trying to think. I've never rested on a Friday. I'm trying to think. Rest on a Friday and you play. Never have I seen that, ever. So, but it's 2020, Andy.
Yeah.
It's 2020, Andy.
We'll get to our Falcons keys to a victory coming up in 15 minutes. The offensive line play is a big part of it. And again, you're starting off the first game of the season knowing full well you're not going to have 16-game continuity. Ideally, Matt Hennessy is the starter at left guard at some point, whether it's next week or the week after. Jarvis talked about maybe there being a rotation at left guard in this first week against the Seahawks. Not what you want. Doesn't mean they're necessarily, you know, doesn't mean they can't win. It doesn't mean the offensive line can't be good, but it is not the ideal situation for an offensive line in week one. We'll get to some keys to a victory coming up in 15 minutes. College football begins tomorrow for a lot of schools as well. Georgia Tech, one of them. Georgia Tech kicks off their season against Florida State in Tallahassee at 3:30 tomorrow afternoon. It's on ABC. Who is this game bigger for, Randy? Is this a bigger game for Jeff Collins starting year two, or is this a bigger game for Mike Norvell in his first game?
I think Mike Norvell.
Okay.
I think Mike Norvell, actually. I think it's a bigger for him because, you know, when you think Florida State, you're like, okay, you automatically expect Florida State to win this football game. I think they're 12.5 favorite, if I'm not mistaken, in this game. So people are expecting them to win. Then now you got a game, and I expect Coach Collins to have his team ready. A game Georgia Tech team coming down there tomorrow in your house, and this is your debut. No, you can't look bad. You can't look bad. If Tech loses, they'll say, oh, they was on the road and all that, blah, blah, blah. But if they lose to Georgia Tech at home in your first game, oh, yeah, it's going to be a problem.
Yeah,
it's going to be a lot of booze, yeah.
The big word for Jeff Collins throughout this offseason has been compete. And I know that's not a new
They're going to compete.
That's not a new word for college football coaches or NFL football coaches. But there were times last year when Georgia Tech wasn't competitive. I mean, there was games where they just were overmatched by the team they were playing. I'm looking forward to that not being the case this year. I'm looking forward to the future of Georgia Tech being every single Saturday you go out there and have a chance to win. And look, I don't know that that's going to be the case every Saturday this year, but I just want to see that natural progression of, okay, we saw what the culture change was. We saw the style of play, the type of athletes that Collins is able to recruit in the recruiting class that Georgia Tech had. Let's see him go out there tomorrow and play some football in a way that looks better than it did last year, and you can see that natural progress. I think Georgia Tech can win this one, honestly.
I do
think they can go down there tomorrow afternoon and win this football game.
Yeah,
I hope that they do. Now, as for college football teams,
No, you said you hope they do. I didn't say that.
I know that. I tried to sneak that in there. I know you don't hope they win.
I didn't say that, okay? I didn't say I hope Georgia Tech wins.
I hope they win. I hope they win.
Yeah, whatever. Good for you.
Some college football teams that aren't playing tomorrow, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 and the SEC, but they're going to start in a couple weeks. Ryan Day of Ohio State had some comments yesterday, basically just asking for clarity from the conference. I mean, that's one thing that has not happened for the Big Ten. There's rumors that they may start in October. I mean, again, if they start in October, I don't know why they don't just start in September and be a part of the normal season and play for a national championship at the end of the year. But I understand where Ryan Day is coming from. He said, tell our players why they can't play and tell them specifically, because you haven't done that yet.
But being, I've heard, you know, it was crazy because I heard James Franklin was on, one of the head coach for Penn State. And, you know, he said he wasn't just talking about the players. He talked to parents. His biggest thing is, what do I tell them? Because y'all haven't told me what to tell them.
Right.
All I can do is tell them what I think. Tell me so I can tell them. Because that is the biggest thing right now. Of course, we know the broad picture, right? All that, whatever. Because now it's coming back where the Michigan schools aren't going to play, the Illinois schools aren't going to play, and Rutgers, and they're not going to play, so you're not going to have enough teams. I don't know what the results of this thing is, Andy, but right now, it seems like the Big Ten they don't know.
Right.
They don't know
and I can hear people saying, well, the reason they're not playing is because of a pandemic. And that is right. That is why they're not playing. But there's also teams that are. Like Miami. The U played last night and they won.
Yes,
Miami's 1-0. They played a football game last night and
it's hotter than hell down in Miami when you talk about that corona.
And everybody's okay. Like the testing is working for them. I know that UAB had to leave a couple players home that tested positive, but they tested all the players that were at the game and they were negative. So, like, if I'm the Big Ten, if I'm the Pac-12, I'm thinking the same thing. I understand the big picture of it. But I need a specific, because there are teams that are playing right now and we aren't. And if you could tell me why, that would really be great. All right, let's get to some Braves. The Braves with a nice comeback win last night, thanks in large part to this guy.
As Freddie launches another one deep right center field, he's done it again. Freddie Freeman, upper deck, ties the game 6-6. He's absolutely incredible. A two-run homer game, and the Braves have tied it up. And the Braves have come all the way back, Jeff, from a 5-0 deficit.
I would say this is our best win, to be honest. With everything that just went into it, you know, these are the games where you could easily just kind of get down and just like, we got in late, what was us? You know, we'll just chalk this up and come back tomorrow. But that's not us. That's not our team. Just a bunch of grinders in this lineup.
And they have been. It's been pretty amazing what the Braves have done. Yesterday, they're down 5 runs because Robbie Erlin is a disaster. Freddie with a couple bombs. Ronald Acuna hits one. Dansby hits the game-winning home run, solo home run late in the game. The offense is amazing. It's equally as amazing as the starting pitching is awful. And the fact that they keep winning these games is, well, I guess it's not. It's actually more amazing than the starting pitching is awful because they keep winning these games. Shout out to the bullpen for throwing like 7 1/3 innings yesterday and getting them out of that game.
Appreciate it.
Josh Tomlin starts today. He's been much more reliable than the rest of these guys. So hopefully the Braves can get another one today.
We'll see if they can do, man. We're hoping that these guys, we're hoping. I'll go away a little bit from hope with Josh Tomlin. Josh Tomlin, because like I said, I like Josh Tomlin. So because he's worth his weight in gold. I don't like these other cats. But I mean, just keep it manageable. And it's crazy, Andy. What's manageable for the Braves? Hell, they're down by 5.
Nothing.
You know what I'm saying?
It's manageable. Keep them within 5. What's manageable? They're going to score 8 eventually. Just
keep
them
within 5.
Striking distance, and they'll get you. Tommy Malone, by the way, put on the IL, the 10-day IL yesterday with an inflated elbow, I guess. I don't think we're going to see Tommy anymore. That backfired. All right. Falcons play the Seahawks coming up at 1 o'clock on Sunday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll get you our keys to a Falcons victory coming up next. We've got some fantasy football advice as well on a Fantasy Football Friday brought to you by your local Ford dealers. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Drink up whatever it is that you're drinking. Drink up. 20 minutes away from an AMA. Get your questions in. Any question, any topic. We'll also make our 4 picks for the weekend. We've each got 4 games we're picking against the spread. And we're like 10 minutes away from Fantasy Football Friday, brought to you by your local Ford dealers, where resident fantasy football experts Randy McMichael, Wendy Adams, and Brian Gebhardt will help you through your fantasy football weekend. So there's still a lot to get to this hour.
We still got some stuff to get to, but there's some good questions, man. And if we don't say them over the air, we will respond to all of your fantasy thing. Me and Brian was talking during the break about some of these things. Whew, man, I don't get really excited about fantasy football, but now I'm just getting excited about it now.
What happened? Like you stumbled, you got came across something
that means
you really like.
That means football's here, Andy. Yeah.
Because
football's here. Football, here's Andy.
And the Falcons and the Seahawks play this Sunday, 1 o'clock. Game one for the Falcons. Obviously, it's 1 of 16, so it's important. But we talked about this earlier. Because of the last couple of seasons, because of all the pressure coming in, because of continuity and everything, like there's a lot riding on this football game. And in order for the Falcons to win this football game, I know you and I have a couple different keys we want to get to. We'll start with you, Randy, and your keys to a Falcons win on Sunday.
One of my first keys, I just got one for offense, one for defense. The first one is this. Last night, you know what I saw, Andy? The ability of bad tackling. And so my first is last night after it showed me you got to run the ball this game right now. The tackling is not going to be where it needs to be because they haven't tackled. And usually we could say, well, they never tackle in practice. Last night looked like they never tackled before. I never seen a tackling that bad even in the first game. So I look at them, they got to run the football back effectively. But to do that, they got to be able to get Bobby Wagner blocked. They got to find a way to get a body on him somehow. And usually because he's in the middle of that defense, at the middle linebacker, that's Alex Mack. So they got to find a way. And one thing I know about Alex, he's crafty. He'll find a way to get Bobby blocked. Even he got to bulldog him, grab him, spit him, choke on him, whatever. He'll find a way to get him blocked. And the second one, I need Grady. I need Dante. I need Marlon and Tack or whoever's in. They got to get after this O-line because it's not good. It's not. Brown is not the same player that he was in Houston. They have got to get after this offensive line, period. I'm talking because we know that Seattle wants to run the ball. They have got to put the running back – they got to put that O-line in Russell's lap the whole game because they cannot block the Atlanta Falcons D-line unless they allow them to block. That's how I look at it because I don't think Seattle's offensive line is any good.
Yeah, I got a couple of numbers to back up both of those keys that you just threw out there. As far as the run game goes, and again, it's a different team this year than it was last year, but it's week one, so all we can do is go off of what the Seahawks were a season ago. they gave up 115 yards a game on the ground. They were not a good run defense. They weren't a, weren't a great getting after the quarterback front four either, but they didn't stop the run well. I mean, they would allow you to get after them and put the ball on the ground and pound it, and that's why they played in so many close games because the teams they played against were able to use the clock and pick up yards on the ground against them. So do that. Use their bad run defense against them. And like, I think one of the things that's going to be interesting to watch is something that you brought up, Randy. Alex Mack is old, and Alex Mack is still really good, but Alex Mack is at the back end of his career, maybe the last year he's on the Atlanta Falcons, if everything goes the way they want with Matt Hennessy coming along and all that. Can Alex Mack still get off the line and get, because Bobby Wagner is as fast as you're going to find as a middle linebacker. Can Alex Mack still get off that line, get off the ball, get into that second level and block a guy like Bobby Wagner? And if so, yeah, the Falcons can hand the ball to whoever and pick up a bunch of yards throughout this game. If not, Bobby Wagner's going to have like 15 tackles.
Yeah.
And he's going to continue to snuff your run game over and over and over again because that dude's really good. I mean, I don't know if he's the best middle linebacker in the NFL, but he's one of the best middle linebackers in the NFL. That'll be something that's interesting to watch. Also, as far as the pass rush goes, the last time Dante Fowler played against the Seahawks, like week 13 last year, because remember he was with the Rams, they played him twice.
Right.
He had a sack and a half. He got Russell Wilson on the ground a couple times. Dante Fowler has had success against the Seahawks offensive line before, so hopefully that continues. I think he's got something like four sacks in his career against the Seahawks. So again, playing in that division the last couple of years, he's seen them quite a bit. I don't know how much that's going to help. I think Russell Wilson's not new. All the Falcons defensive linemen have probably watched plenty of tape on Russell Wilson, what it is that he does. But at least Dante Fowler has had recent success against him. So hopefully that continues. I thought you were going to say let him drop.
I mean, let me tell you something. This is what I would say to because the thing about a young player, when you that first time you're in that stadium on the first game, you look at a young guy who's making his first start, and you look across, you see them out them big old eyes, you let them drop. They'll shrink.
I think let them drop could just be the phrase for the whole season.
You let them drop. Them eyes will shrink a little bit. You want me to be a guy. You be focused eye.
Be grown-ups. Like, be the enforcers. There was so many times last year, and I know that wasn't like the Falcons' biggest issue, but there was so many times last year where they just got hit in the mouth. They just got out-physicaled. Just got out-toughed. I mean, one of the most telling moments of the season last year, and I'm not blaming Matt Ryan for it, was when there was a turnover and Matt Ryan's running down the field and there's a crackback block and he just went flying. Like, that to me almost summed up the entire 2019 Falcons season. Don't let that be who you are this year. Like, be tougher than – Dan Quinn talks about toughness and physicality and speed and all that stuff. Like, actually be that. And maybe Keanu Neal being back will help because he's the enforcer on defense. One of my keys is you got to take advantage of the mistakes that the Seahawks will make, and they will. Whether it's Russell Wilson making a hero pass, which he's going to try to make at some point in the game, you got to come up with the interception. Whether it's Chris Carson putting the ball on the ground, which he does, he fumbled 7 times last year, you got to come up with the fumble. Because as much as they are going to make mistakes, you said this earlier, Randy, and it's right. The Seahawks aren't going to shoot themselves in the foot. They're gonna make mistakes occasionally because every football team makes mistakes, but they're not going to shoot themselves in the foot. And if they give you those opportunities, especially early, if you can come up with a turnover early in this game, I think that would be massive for the Falcons, something they haven't been able to do the last couple of years. They haven't turned the ball over and get a little momentum going in your direction. The other thing I want to see, my second key to the game, is spread the ball around. Get everybody on offense involved. Don't just key in on Julio. Don't just key in on Calvin Ridley. And Dave Archer talked about this yesterday. If you can get 6-7 guys involved, not just in the pass game, but in the run game in the first two drives, and kind of get back to what you looked like diversity-wise as far as spreading the ball around on offense in 2016, that's huge for Matt Ryan. Now, that comes down to being able to block for him, being able to keep him upright, and he can go through his progressions if he needs to make his third read and throw to that guy. Sometimes that's why those guys get involved. But if they can spread the ball around and get more guys involved on offense, that's, to me, a huge key in the Falcons being successful offensively this year.
I agree. I agree 100%. And the thing, we need turnovers. I need my man Andy to get out of his sack envy. We need. I don't want you to have any more sack envy. We got to get some damn sacks.
Envy either. Yeah, yeah, I'm tired of having sack envy, and hopefully Dante Fowler can help with that. Get how many do you need? I'd like to see the Falcons get wrestled three times this weekend, and Matt Ryan get sacked. I don't know. Zero would be ideal. There was only one game last year where he got sacked zero times. There's only three games where he got sacked once. He had over 300 yards passing in all four of those games, by the way. So if you keep Matt Ryan upright, he's probably going to throw the ball pretty good. All right. We're going to do this on Fridays as well, right around 1:30. It is Fantasy Football Friday, brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Those are the keys to our Falcons victory. We now throw to Wendy for some fantasy football questions. Wendy?
What's going on, guys? Brian, you ready for this? Randy, I know you're ready. You've got your fantasy football lineup. All right. Oh, this one question. I've got David Johnson on my bench. Brian saw this listener's lineup. Keep him or trade him for a better quarterback / wide receiver?
So I took a quick glance at what that guy's roster looks like, and he's pretty stacked at running back. David Johnson, not the type of guy that's probably going to stay healthy for 16 games, did have a good game. So I'd look to trade him, package him with one of those quarterbacks you got because saw it was a two-quarterback league.
Yes, it is. I mean, I'm not going to sleep on David Johnson. My only thing with David, I think David can get you a grand this year. But like I said, his biggest issue has been his injuries. And last night we were talking about he didn't get hurt. Well, you remember they were checking his wrist. And he's had wrist problems his last few years and made him miss a lot of time. So when he was on the sideline, they were talking about he's over there checking his wrist. His first thing you said was, damn it, he hurt again.
Yeah, not to mention the Texans' offensive line is terrible. Like, we saw what they looked like last night. Deshaun Watson's running for his life all game long. I mean, I know David Johnson's good and all that, and he can probably make up for some of it. But with a bad offensive line and an injury history, if you can sell high, I don't know, is he a high sell after one game? He looked pretty good. But if you could sell him and get something for him, I absolutely would do that.
All right, a running back question. Who do I start out of Joe Mixon, Leonard Fournette, or Mark Ingram?
All right, so, I mean, anytime I would have Joe Mixon, he would be and simply because they have – a rookie quarterback. Chargers are not a great run team, a run defense, without Derwin James. So I would start Joe Mixon against the Chargers. It's a 3-point line in favor of the Chargers anyway. So I think it's going to be close. I think they want to get Joe Mixon the ball to take the pressure off Joe Burrow. So I start Mixon. And who were the other two, you said?
You had Leonard Fournette and Mark Ingram.
I don't think Leonard's going to get a big bulk. And Mark Ingram, they want J.K. Dobbins. And mm-hmm. I think the Cleveland defense is going to be a lot better this year.
Yeah, the Ravens did bury J.K. Dobbins on the depth chart. So, Mark Ingram, if you can get him in that flex spot, I'd get him in because he's got a good matchup. The weather's supposed to be bad, too, between that Ravens and Browns game. But Joe Mixon is the play. Randy's right in that sense. And avoid Leonard Fournette this week if you can.
Yeah.
All right, a wide receiver question. So, he's got to start three out of these guys. You have Juju, Amari, A.J. Green, Lockett, Edelman, and Gallup.
Oh, I got to go Juju. Ben Roethlisberger is back, and they're going against the Giants. So you definitely got to start Juju. Now, Brian, do you start Amari Cooper knowing that Jalen Ramsey is going to be on him the whole time?
No, that's 100% the reason you want to go with Michael Gallup. I also think, flat out, just everything equal, Michael Gallup's a better football player than Amari Cooper. I think he's going to have a better season as well. But Jalen should start off against Amari, so that makes – Gallup. I'm with you on Juju there as well. And then the third person I would start is Tyler Lockett. I'm just a little concerned with A.J. Green and the hamstring injury. And Edelman doesn't really have that explosiveness that he used to have in the past.
Yeah, I mean, the Falcons' secondary is banged up. We've heard it in every update Mike Conte has done. I know A.J. Terrell's going to play, but his hamstring's bothering him. Kendall Sheffield's been in a walking boot this week. Unfortunately, you don't want to start a guy against your favorite team, right?
Yeah.
But it might be the right play.
Right here, Tommy. He said, "Tommy said, is there a sneaky fantasy defense to play this week?" Me and Brian both agree. Play the Colts this week against the damn Jaguars.
Play any defense that's
play
playing
any
against
defense
the Jaguars
you can
all
against
season
the Jaguars.
Long. If you can stream them.
Two more
right.
For you, real quick.
Oh,
Lions, Chargers. Those are good options as well. Chargers going up against rookie quarterback and Joe Burrow. They got two good pass rushers, and the Lions are going up against a team who's quarterbacked by Mitch Trubisky. So.
Yeah.
That's all you need to say. That's Fantasy Football Friday, brought to you by your local Ford dealers. You can keep the fantasy football questions coming in the AMA or ask anything else that you might want to know. It's a Happy Hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. We will answer your questions coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Happy Hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. We'll get to the AMA in just a minute. Got a lot of good ones here on Twitter. You can keep sending your fantasy football questions as well if you'd like them answered during the AMA segment. Before we do that, though, every single Friday at 1:40, we did this last year, we're going to do it again this year, we're each going to make four picks. Now, there's four of us. Wendy is going to tell us what Brian's picks are and her picks, and then me and Randy are going to make our picks as well. So, as we always do, we start with Wendy.
Brian, I'll do Brian's picks first. He has Georgia Tech plus 12.5 at Florida State this weekend. He's also got Duke in the 20.5 at Notre Dame to cover it. Packers to cover the 3 at Minnesota, and the Saints to take the 3.5 versus the Bucks.
All right. What about you?
I'm doing Notre Dame and the 20 versus Duke. I think they're going to go well over 20 versus Duke, so opposite of Brian there. At State, the minus 17, this is for my girl Lily, at home versus Charlotte.
Damn right.
And the Colts and the minus 7.5 at the Jaguars, and the 49ers minus 7 versus the Cardinals.
Yeah, I've got some similar ones. I got App State beating the hell out of Charlotte. 17 points is all they're favored against Charlotte at home. All right, that's easy. Clemson minus 33 against Wake Forest. College game day is in Winston-Salem, which is cool, but Clemson's going to put foots in Wake. I got Buffalo minus 6.5 against the Jets. And I'm going to pick against the Jaguars every single year this year, just like I did against the Dolphins until I'm proven not to. So I got the Colts minus 7.5 against the Jags. Randy?
I'm taking the Colts minus 7. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm taking the Colts minus 7.5 against the Jags. Against the Jags also. I'm taking the Dolphins plus 6 versus the Patriots because the Dolphins always play. We also play the Patriots tough in that game is not in Miami, though. It's in Foxborough.
There's no fans. It's still early in the season.
It don't matter. I'm still going Dolphins plus 6.5. And then I'm going Georgia Tech plus 12 versus Florida.
Really?
State.
You guys are hedging your bets. You're only doing that so if you're right, you get the point for gambling. And if you're wrong, you're happy because Georgia Tech lost.
So?
Okay.
Also, for my baby girl Lily, I'm taking App State minus 17 over Charlotte.
Yeah, we're all
just
on
for
that.
Her.
Yeah, just for her. She's got her App State onesie on the way. She'll be singing the fight song tomorrow when App State takes on Charlotte.
Man.
All right, let's get to some questions.
We're queuing up your questions with the Middays AMA.
Ask me anything. Glad you asked. On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Right
From
the Heart.
I hope it's there.
Heart.org. What? You hope what's
there? Her onesie. I hope it gets there. You said she's ordered yesterday, right?
Yeah, she ordered express delivery, though, so it'll be here.
Oh, okay.
You know what else showed up?
What?
My Falcons jersey, number 20.
Oh, did it?
With Bunker on the back. Yeah.
What they got you? What they got you rocking? What number?
Number 20.
Oh.
Probably because of my love for Gary Payton.
There it is. Bam.
Because it's the year 2020. And I think everybody who's not a former athlete got the number 20 because it's the year 2020. Like, you got 86 because you were 86 at Georgia. They gave Hugh number 53 because he was number 53 when he played in the NFL. It makes sense. Now, they could have found out what my high school soccer number was. They could have, but they didn't have to do all that research. Anyway, I got some AMA questions over here. Got some on the text line as well. If you could be 100% smarter, 100% faster, 100% stronger, or 100% more attractive, which would you choose and why?
Oh, give me those again.
100% faster.
Okay.
Smarter.
Okay.
Stronger.
Okay.
Or better looking.
Hell, I'm all that. I lived that life for all four of those. So I should be exempt from this.
All right, so you're exempt. I'm going to take smarter. I don't care if I'm faster. Certainly don't care if I'm stronger. And I'm already as good looking as I need to be. But if I'm 100% smarter, the only problem with that is 100% more than zero questions right in Sports Jeopardy is still zero. So,
are you still talking about Sports Jeopardy?
I could use this. Yes, Randy, I am. Sports Jeopardy was still embarrassing. It was a nil-nil draw, like a soccer match.
I had to ask for my football pants out with 60,000 people in the stands. You really think that that's embarrassing? Try having your butt out on national TV.
Why'd you have your butt out on national TV, by the way?
I told you my pants got ripped.
Why? How?
Because I was wearing them new Nike pants they had, Andy. They were paper thin. They wanted us to wear. And literally paper thin. I got tackled, and dude ripped the butt out of my damn pants. So I was looking like I had damn chaps on.
He didn't have draws on, obviously.
No draw. I had just a jock strap. Cheeks.
Yeah, obviously, that's more embarrassing, but I've never done that before.
That was it. You think I'm embarrassed by some? Yeah. Whatever.
I don't care. You don't have to be embarrassed. That's fine. I am. I'm embarrassed for myself. Wendy, what's the creepiest direct message you've ever gotten during a Sports Jeopardy question?
Oh, during a Sports Jeopardy question?
Yeah, because we always tell people, keep it clean, don't be weird. But not everybody listens.
Oh, I had some guy go, I created a Twitter account just to get in contact with you because I heard you were taking Sports Jeopardy questions.
My guy.
Pretty creepy.
Shoot your shot, homie.
I mean, I guess, but we're not, like, we don't want people to shoot their shot.
No, well, like, said person also followed me on Instagram, so there's that.
Yeah. There we go.
There you go. Do you have any good ones over there, Wendy?
Let me pull up the sheet real quick. Let's do Zaxby's or Chick-fil-A.
Zaxby's.
Zaxby's and the Zax sauce.
That Zax sauce be hidden.
Those salads are delicious if you want to go healthy. Zaxby's all the way.
A what?
A salad. You get a salad. It's like a salad but with a Z because it's Zaxby's.
Oh, yeah. I've never had that before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you normally, Randy, you don't get salads when you eat fast food. You get like the good stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah, I ain't never ordered no damn salad.
They got good salads. They got good salads at Zaxby's. It's pretty good.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I eat the chicken just by itself.
And like, Brian, actually, they are pretty good. I ain't never ordered no damn salad from no fast food restaurant.
Okay.
The hell for? I can eat salad here. I can go outside, get me some damn leaves, and throw some salad dressing on it.
All right. Sounds pretty good.
Sorry.
Nice oak leaf salad from Randy's backyard.
I'm sorry. That's great. All right. As an adult, what's your guilty pleasure kids breakfast cereal?
I don't eat cereal, so I don't have one.
I mean, I'll eat Cinnamon Toast Crunch. I don't feel guilty about it, though. Like, it's so damn good. Like, why would
it is, dude? But they be smashing it up in here, man.
Yeah, you can't keep a box of that very long.
That $4.99 large box, man.
That's how much it costs? $5 for a box?
For the family size box? Yeah, they be smashing it.
Yeah, we don't have a lot of that over here that much. The cereals we have would be no one's guilty pleasure. Like, there's nothing fun about the cereal that we eat over here. But yeah, if I'm at a house that's got some Cinnamon Toast Crunch, I'll eat that. It's delicious. The milk is good too. It's got the cinnamon sugar in the milk. Very good.
Randy, would you try a Bud Light seltzer since it has Bud Light
Hell
in the title?
No. I don't drink Bud Light, so no, I ain't going to drink no damn Bud Light seltzer.
I've seen you drink a Bud Light before. You drink
Bud Light.
Yes,
and you
sometimes
saw me like, did not like it. When did you ever see me drink a Bud Light?
I don't know. Maybe I haven't.
Thank you. I don't ever drink Bud Light. It'd be some Bud Light at the house for guests. I don't drink Bud Light.
Okay. The Bud Light Limes have been very popular over
Bud Light Lime, that joint now. Bud Light Lime ain't Bud Light. It's Bud Light Lime.
I'm glad you
went Bud Light Lime.
People always give me a hard time about BLLs. The BLLs.
No, 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 no. It's the BLL. Just say Bud Light Lime.
Yeah, the BLLs. Very good.
No, no, no.
Hold on. Hold on.
No, dude. It's one word. Bud Light Lime.
Oh, Bud Light Lime. Okay.
Here we go.
Those, by the way, those are like the softest drinks possible out there.
Oh, what's that? All right.
Yeah.
What is?
BLLs, Bud Light Limes, however you want to organize it. Say
this
it.
This is from the guy who was crushing White Claws.
Yeah, exactly. But you
I'm talking about crushing White Claws and smashing them against
your
his
beer
damn
has
head
a
like
lime in it.
Meat.
It's a
and
soft beer that's got a lime in it.
Like his
how hard
damn,
is that?
Like his damn name was meat smashing Trulies against your head. Man, you
what's
gotta go
the, what's the flavor of White Claw Trulies you're drinking?
Delicious strawberry lemonade, mango lemonade.
Are you serious?
Any of those
and that's
things
somehow harder?
I
than
am not
Light
saying
lime.
That seltzers are hard, but don't tell me Bud Light Lime is. That's what my point is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right, I didn't say what did I say? I said it was good. I said it's a delightful treat.
Oh, this was more directed at Randy.
You can direct anything over here you want to, Pimpin'. I don't get drunk off no strawberry marinade barbecue.
No, put your lime in your light beer and your Michelob Ultra.
Fruit-flavored lemon juice. That's
hey,
you.
It's delicious. Speaking of beer with limes in it, you know Snoop Dogg's doing those Corona commercials now?
Yeah.
It does not make me want to drink Coronas. Like, the stuff he says in those commercials, I'm like, I'll drink a Corona if it's there, but like that makes me want to drink Corona less for whatever reason. I don't know why. Let's get the takeaways of the day.
As our show heads into the final stretch, it's time for the takeaway of the day.
So many achievements.
On Andy and Randy, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Takeaways of the day on the final Friday before the Falcons kick off against the Seahawks this Sunday afternoon at 1 right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start with Wendy.
Well, I've learned the remedy going from Saturday college football watching into Sunday NFL watching thanks to Randy McMichael. All you need is an all-star from Waffle House and go to work.
Yes, sir. Yeah, but, like, hey, you got to get that thing right, man. You got to get that thing mixed up in there, man.
What about you, Randy?
Oh, I had a takeaway, but I got a couple now. Creeps create pages for Wendy. Mm-hmm. And Brian, softer than I thought.
I learned the Falcons just need to let them drop. Just let them drop. And then you'll go to the playoffs. Just follow that advice from Randy and everything will be fine. Let them drop. What about you, Brian?
I mean, if BLLs and Michelob Ultras are acceptable in what Randy drinks, then so are Trulies. And Trulies Randy's.
Not.
They got your refrigerator smelling funny. and slander, truth, sometimes it's the same to Randy.
Uh-huh. All right. That'll do
it.
We'll be back on Monday.
Easy, Atlanta. Be safe.
Hopefully the Falcons win. Get it done.
Yes,
get off
please.
To a good start. We'll talk to you
Justice.
Monday morning.
Watch out!